Good evening, one and all. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording and those here in the room. Welcome to our midweek church service on this 26th day of April 2017. Good to see you all once again. Redeemed is our opening song for tonight. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Praise God indeed. It's now time for opening prayer, and our dear brother Matt will offer that for us.
Thank you. Sorry if I sound a little hoarse this evening. I've got a bit of a sore throat, but we'll work through it here. If everyone could just kneel or bow their heads as far as you're able as we do opening prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come together and study this evening and in worshiping your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for the plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and for working for our benefit, for our elucidation, for our uplifting, despite how unworthy we may be, or ungrateful, or even unknowing. Lord, I want to personally ask that you continue to guide me in my studies, and also give me the humility to remember that there are lessons of yours I will not comprehend at first. And this is not a cause for frustration, but an invitation to further my studies and to know you more. Lord, please send your heavenly intelligences to guide us in this meeting, that we may understand your word and your plan and your mind just a little more clearly by the end of this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your love and divine protection. Amen.
Amen. Amen indeed. And thank you, dear brother. So again, welcome one and all. We're continuing in our study book of Romans, and we ended chapter 13 last time, and now we begin at verse 1 in chapter 14. And the last thing that we were discussing before we stopped in our study book last time was that self is to be crucified, and Jesus Christ in its place is to be put on. In other words, we're to have his character, we're to act like him, speak like him, and have self completely sacrificed, that God may be revealed through us instead. And so when our fallen nature, our passions, and the lusts of our flesh begin to clamor for recognition, we're to keep them crucified, submitting ourselves to follow the Lord and to perform his word and his will instead of our own word and will. And that means we have to be constantly surrendered, submitted to God in order to have Jesus live through us and not make provision for our flesh. And we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 1 of chapter 14. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. So we're not just to accept into our midst those that are strong in faith, but also those that are weak in faith, those who have problems in keeping God's word, those who have at times fear, worry, anxiety of the future, those who at times forget what good things God has done for them in the past, those who under trial and temptation give up and stumble. We're to receive these in amongst ourselves. Now, not those that are choosing to knowingly live in sin, but those who may continue to stumble into sin, not because they want to, but because they're weak in faith. We're to have those brothers and sisters in our midst, and even though they may sin against us 70 times 7, that is not cause enough to shun them or to make them feel uncomfortable among us. How else is their faith going to grow unless they're in the company of those who have overcome those particular tendencies? So they can see that example. They can be edified, encouraged, and their faith built up. So him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now what does that mean? Doubtful, of course, is a lack of faith. Disputation is a discussion on. So we're to receive those into our midst that are weak in faith, but not to doubtful disputations, not to get into discussions about things that lead to a lack of faith, but instead to turn the conversation away from doubt to trust, away from unbelief to faith. And sometimes that can be hard to do. But yet we're to always point the weak to the Savior for their strength. Verse 2. For one believeth that he may eat all things, Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Now it's interesting, Paul brings up the issue of diet in this discussion about some being weak in the faith, and that we're to avoid doubtful disputations, especially regarding the subject of diet. In Paul's day, there was a discussion whether food that has been offered to the idols changed its nutritional aspects. That because it was offered to an idol, therefore that offering made it unfit for food to the Christian, because now that food has been dedicated to a false god. So those who recognized that the idol is nothing, it's just a creation of man, and it's then termed or believed to be a god. So it's nothing. It's a lie that backs up the idea that it's a god. So then the food that's offered to this idol that's nothing has not in any way been changed from a wholesome food into now a corrupt food. And since there's no change, then it's okay for a Christian to eat that food, because it's not any different than it was before. It was growing on the tree or plucked from the ground. But there were others who believed that since that food had been dedicated to a false god, then for a Christian to eat that food, he would then in a way be supporting that false god, be connected with that false god in some way, and thus that connection would make him contaminated. So you had this discrepancy, this disputation or discussion dealing with food offered to idols, whether it was okay for Christians to eat or not. And you had some Christians that recognized the idol was nothing, went ahead and ate the food. And then you had others who believed that the idol was something, didn't eat the food. So Paul here is saying, don't get into an argument or a debate over this issue, because you're not servants one of another. You're servants of God. So let God deal with the person who eateth and deal with the person who eateth not. Don't allow this disputation between yourselves to divide you from one another. And we have that same disputation over diet taking place among God's people in these very last days. It's not so much about food offered to idols now as it is a difference between what people believe you can eat in a meal versus what people believe you can't eat in a meal. And we're not to allow these disputations on dietary issues to divide us from one another. There are some who believe that tomatoes cannot be mixed with vegetables, because a tomato is a fruit, and you're not to mix fruits and vegetables together. There's others who believe that a tomato is a neutral in the fruit family because it's not sweet like an orange, and thus It is a neutral. It can mix over with vegetables just like a lemon or an olive can mix with vegetables. And so you have this difference of opinion regarding dietary issues that have led to debates, led to angry discussions between Christians, and they've separated one from another all because one believes it's okay to have tomato with vegetables and another believes that it's not okay. So this very same contention over dietary issues that was taking place in Paul's day is still with us today. So we're all the servants of God. We all have the right to decide what dietary items we can subsist on for our particular body's needs. We have every right of expressing our opinion, but we're not to get into an argument or a debate or a discussion that leads to separating from one another because we view things differently on this issue of diet. So let not those who eat despise those who don't eat, and let not those which don't eat judge those who do eat, because God hath received both. If we've asked God to bless our food, and we know that the food we're partaking of is according to His will, then there's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to be fearful of that food that we're about to partake of, as long as we're living up to the light that we have regarding health reform. Some people can eat much more than others because their lifestyle, their body function is much more energetic, much more physical than someone whose lifestyle is more sedentary. I've seen individuals go back for seconds and thirds at the dinner table. And, you know, one plate is sufficient for me. But because I don't have seconds or thirds, doesn't mean that I'm to look at the person who does and judge them as being a glutton. Because they stand or fall based on their knowledge, based on their dietary necessities, and with God as their judge. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, this isn't referring to the issue of the Sabbath always being on the seventh day of the week or Saturday. This is dealing about other days that individuals consider holy to the Lord. Not like a Sabbath to the Lord, but a special day to the Lord. So one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike, no difference. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. There's a comment in the room that says, ceremonial Sabbath, which were no longer of value. Yeah, it could have been. It could have been that difference of a holy day or a ceremonial Sabbath. And there was a transition between the disciples recognizing that the ceremonial feast days were set aside at the crucifixion of Christ and were no longer to be kept. And that took a period of time with some of the disciples to recognize that. So we see here that if we're all the servants of God, then we're to give one another leeway in our service to God. We stand or fall based upon God's judging of our actions. And we're not the ones that are to do the judging. We're not to measure ourselves among ourselves, because we have one standard to look to, and that standard is Jesus Christ. So in this issue of diet, God did not just make one type of fruit and vegetable and grain. He made a great variety of all. Sister White had problems with beans, but other people could eat freely of beans without any problem. She did not look at those that ate beans as committing a sin just because she could not partake of them. And those that freely partook of beans should not look upon Sister White, who abstained from eating beans, as being someone weird, because she didn't eat them due to their effect on her body. It was a negative effect, and so she avoided them. So there's going to be differences in likes and dislikes. There's going to be differences in body's requirements of various types of foods. And let us be respectful of each other's choice of diet. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to touch on, is on the issue of food. If you believe that your food will hurt you, then the mind reacts and that food will hurt you. So when we ask God to bless our food, and we know that the food that is there is according to His will, then we're to believe that God has blessed every bit of that food, and then we can partake of that food in peace and not have any digestive issues because of a guilty conscience for eating something that we know God approves of. For instance, there's some who believe that they have to diligently wash all of their fruits and vegetables before they eat it. There's others who believe that they have to skin their fruits and vegetables due to all the chemicals and all the additives that are put into the soil in order to make it grow. And so if they're offered an apple that has not been skinned, they're fearful that if they eat it with the skin, that it's going to harm them in some way. So those that would rather peel their items of dietary needs, if you've asked God to bless that food and you happen to get a piece of the skin with your food, don't allow that piece of food to give you a guilty conscience because you've asked God to bless it. So then believe that He's blessed it. Enjoy your meal. So in other words, be less fanatical about your diet and be more trusting in God to protect you from any and all harm that may have been in that food. Don't allow your imagination to cause your stomach to become upset when you're enjoying the bounties of God's blessing. Don't be weak in the faith, but believe in God's ability to protect you. And this is my prayer. There's a comment in the room that says, when in Guatemala, there was a group that rinsed all their produce in an iodine solution, and all eating that food ended up getting sick. Those of us who did not do that rinsing in iodine solution did not get sick. Amen. Now, I haven't heard of anyone going to the extreme of using iodine solution, and iodine is a very powerful bacterial destroying agent. But it goes to show that individuals can become very fanatical, very extreme. Amen. Anything can be overdone in regards to their diet. I remember there was another group that believed that when they would buy oranges, like navel oranges and so on at the store, they had to look at the very top of the orange and the, you know, where it connected to the tree, the stem. And if the stem on the orange did not have a five-pointed star, like the stem there, they would not eat it because they believed that it was only the five-pointed star on the fruit that meant it was the best possible and most nutritious food. So any stems that had just four little petals on it or three, they rejected, and they would search through the entire bins and maybe only find a few oranges that had the five petals there at the stem. So if they would have eaten an orange that only had the four petals on the stem, they would, in mind, believe they're not getting as much nutrition as they could have got from a five-petaled stem, and thus their mind would affect their body's absorption or digestive assimilation of that orange. In other words, they weren't eating it in peace. They were eating it with a troubled mind. And a troubled mind will give you a troubled stomach. And a troubled stomach will give you troubled digestion. So when you sit down for a meal of fruits, nuts, grains, or vegetables, and you ask God to bless it, then believe that He's blessed it and that the food you're going to partake of will be to your best body's nutritional needs. and don't worry about it. Don't limit God's ability to bless and protect your meal. I also know of other individuals that when they buy grapes or buy plums, and you see that white, powdery, filmy substance on the skin of grapes and plums, that they had to take a rag and wipe all of that off because they believed that that was some chemical that was going to harm them. But that white, powdery substance on the skin of grapes and plums is vitamin B12 that grows on those fruits naturally. And so wiping it all off was just removing that extra vitamin B12 that their body needs. So may we be wise and much more trusting in God, more faith in Him and His ability to protect us, and be less subject to doubtful disputations. Amen. A comment in the room, it says, health reform about flesh meat eating and those who eat meat. Yeah, health reform dealing with meat eating is recognizing that God's original diet for mankind did not involve flesh food, did not involve animal flesh, flesh from birds, or flesh from fish. It was just fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. So those that are in that transition, going from a meat diet to now a completely vegetarian diet, we have to encourage them. We have to come close to them and try to lead them to follow God's will. And if they stumble and go back to eating meat, that's not a reason to no longer fellowship with them. That's not a reason to believe that they've given up the faith and that they're no longer a brother or sister. They stand or fall with God. So may God help us to be a true, loving, kind, and considerate brother or sister to others, especially to those that are weak in the faith. Let us help them to become strong in the faith, especially in areas of diet. Shall we bow our heads and our knees? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Thy merciful kindness, and we thank You for Your long-suffering and tender-heartedness to each one of us. Father, I pray that You'll increase our faith. Help us not to put ourselves on a pedestal and believe that our standard and our lifestyle is to be imitated by all around us, and if they don't live up to our standard, then we look down on them. Help us, Father, to look to our Savior and to have His standard. Help us not to measure ourselves among ourselves or to judge one another, but instead to judge ourselves and to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith or not. help us to be more encouraging, more supportive, more sympathetic to our brothers and sisters. Help us to be more caring and considerate, more interested in their welfare, and not just isolated to ourselves. Please help us, Father, to see things as you see them. Help us to continue to grow in grace, to bring our diet, our lifestyle, our thoughts, our words, our actions into harmony and compliance with your will in all areas. Thank you for helping us step by step. Thank you for the progress that we have made in your grace and strength, and please help us to continue to advance. And help us to encourage and to help one another become stronger in Christ Jesus. Thank you that we have brothers and sisters that we can fellowship with. Thank you that we're not all alone without any type of companionship or fellowship, even if it's over the internet here in this home church. For life would be truly much more torturous if we were all alone. So thank you, Father, for this home church. Thank you that we have other brothers and sisters of like faith that we can fellowship with. And thank you for leading and guiding us home. Continue to be with us. Be with all of those who have requested prayer. Please hear and answer their petitions, especially for healing. And thank you, Father, for being a God close at hand and for answering our prayers and petitions and requests according to thy perfect will and timing. Please be with us until we are able to come back together in fellowship in just a couple days. And thank you for your divine protection and love. We love you too. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. But there are there any other thoughts or comments? Any songs, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, please feel free. Well, keep looking up. Keep advancing forward. Keep on the armor of God, every piece of it. And continue advancing forward in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We look forward to fellowshipping with you. Once again, and until then, may God bless. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalms 89, verse 1.